We're in Perek Aleph. And we are up to Vayalu, up to Pasukhat Bet. Vayalu Bet Yosef Gam Hem Bet El Vashem Imam. So the children of Yosef inhabited a place called Bet El. So they went up to conquer it. Vayatiru Bet Yosef be Bet El. Vayatiru. So Vayaturu, they sent some scouts to Bet El. They want to conquer it. So they sent some scouts. The Balbim says, "Shalhu latur et ha'aretz saviv saviv," to see what's going on over there. So the pasuk says, "Veshem ha'ir lefanim luz." The name of the city Bet El originally was called Luz. The pasuk says, "Vayiru ha'shomerim ish yotze min ha'ir." So the Shomrim, the scouts, they saw somebody leave the city. Vayomeru lo hareinu na et mevo ha'ir. Show us how to access the city. Ve'asinu emecha chased. And we'll do for you a chesed. She says, Shayu nichnasim la derech ha'me'ara. The way they entered the city was through a cave. Veluz echad omer al pi ha'me'ara, and there was a tree that stood by the cave. Ve'nichnasim derech haluz la'me'ara. You understand what's going on over the city? Did not have an apparent access. So you didn't know how to get into the place. Anybody remember Get Smart? Remember that? So you remember you used to push the button, the wall turned around? So that's similar to this, that deal, of course. You went into a tree, the tree had a trap door, you walked into the tree, and from the tree gets you into the cave gets you into the city. So if you don't know that this tree has a trap door in it, you wouldn't know how to get in. So the scouts are sitting there and they notice a city somewhere, but they don't know how to get in. You understand what's going on over here? So all of a sudden they see a guy walking out. They say, "Hold it, hey, stop. If you show us how to get into this place, we'll do your chesed." Vayir'em et mevo ha'ir. So he shows them how to get in. He gives them the secret. That is a goy, obviously. Because there were no Jews living in that city yet, because Yosef didn't conquer it yet. Understand what happened? Mm-hmm. So they killed the whole city. The Bnei Yosef went in, and they killed the whole city of Bet-El.
And they saved the guy. So they kept their word. That guy went, and he built a city. And he built a city and he named it Luz. And that's the name until today. But she says that city is an amazing city that the guy built. Well, when Sanhariv came and mixed up all the countries, the cities, and the nations, he didn't touch the city of Luz. And Nebuchadnezzar didn't destroy it. So this is like an amazing city this guy built. Haimi, can you bring us Gemara Sota? We just need Mem Vav. If you want to just bring us Gemara Sota, Mem Vav. You probably have to bring the whole Gemara. To understand what happened in this episode over here, that's the whole story, Rabotai. But we need to see the Gemara. What the Gemara says about this episode. So Gemara Sota Daf Mem Vav. Here it is. So the Gemara over here is talking in Sota about a mitzvah that's talking about escorting guests. The mitzvah of Levaya. This is an underrated mitzvah. The Gemara says that if they find a dead man between two cities, and they don't know from which city the murder came from, so they measure, and the closest city has to bring a kapara, and the rabbis of that city have to make a confession that they didn't have anything to do with it. So the Gemara says, would we think the rabbis of the city had something to do with the murder, that they have to make such a confession? So the Gemara says, we didn't spill the blood and we didn't see it. See, same we're talking about over here, Gemara, where they found a dead body in between two cities, tale of two cities. And they don't know where the murderer is. The murderer is at large. So the law is you measure. And the closest city to the corpse has to bring a kapara. And at the time of the kapara, the elders of the city and the scholars have to confess that they did not have anything to do with the spilling of this blood. So the Gemara says, would you think that the rabbis of the city had something to do, that they have to make a confession that they didn't have anything to do? So the Gemara says, V'chi alibenu alta shebetin shofchim damim. We think that Betin is murderers? Ela. They have to say the following. Lo ba li yadenu upatrunu belo mezonot. We didn't see the guy and not give him food for the road, which would be tantamount to murdering him. Which means they're saying, we didn't see anybody come to the city, because if we did, certainly we would have given him some food to eat. Because maybe the guy didn't have food, and maybe that's why he, you know, he got involved. He started to look for food. And he got into trouble. They say, no, we gave, you know, we're careful to make sure that everybody who leaves the city gets mezonot. Ve'lo ra'inuhu b'nihu b'lo levaya. And we didn't see the guy and leave him without an escort. That means the Gemara saying over here that had they not escorted the man, that could be the reason why he died. So they're saying, we're innocent, we didn't kill him, meaning we didn't leave the person without an escort. So from here you see what? The importance of escorting a guest. That if they didn't escort the guest, then the zakenim would be held liable for his death. And don't ask me how escorting a guest saves him from death. Don't ask me that question. But the Gemara clearly says, Tanya, Hayah Rabbi Meir Omer, Kofin Lelevaya. Wow. The guest can even force the host to make Levaya. You hear what we're saying over here? You can force it. That's already, exactly. The guy said, listen, it's too cold. Shabbat Shalom, I'll see you later. He said, no, you got to walk me out the door. You have to escort me. Do me a favor. I'll wait for you from the porch. Have a good day. Call me when you get there. Call me once it's Shabbat. Let me know you got home. He says, no, Kofin, you can force the guy because it's protection. Shishchara levaya en la shi'ur. Listen to this. The reward of escorting has no shi'ur. Following or this mitzvah, there's a simple mitzvah that you're not aware of, just to walk a couple of steps outside the house to escort the Gemara says you don't know the value of this mitzvah in la shi'ur.
Has to be outside. To the door.
If you're in an apartment building, you're walking to the elevator. And how do we know that the mitzvah levaya is so great? Shne'emar, and the Gemara quotes our pasuk in the Navi today. The Shomrim saw a guy leaving the city. Vayomeru lo. Ha'enu na et mevoa ha'ir. Could you show us where the city is? We don't know how to get into this place. Ve'asinu emmecha chesed. And we'll do ye chesed. Uchtiv. Vayerem et mevoa ha'ir. He showed them. He showed them how to get in. He showed them how to get in. Umma chesed asu imo. So what was the chesed that they did to this guy? Shekol ota ha'ir hargu lefiharef. They killed the whole city. Ve'oto ha'ish u'mishpato shalchu. And that guy, they sent him on his way. Where did he go? Ve'yelech ha'ish eretz ha'itim. Ve'yi ben ir, and he built a city. Ve'yikra shema luz. He called the city luz. Yishema ad ayum hazeh. Still called luz today, still around the city. Tanya, he luz shesufim batechelet. That's the city of Luz that they produced the Techelet. A very rich town. So you want the Techelet, you gotta go to Luz to buy it. He Luz, Sheba Sanheriv Velo Bilbela. When Sanheriv came and he dislocated all the nations from their place and moved everybody around, he didn't touch Luz. What do you think the next line is gonna say? Nebuchadnezzar v'lo echriba. Nebuchadnezzar came to that place called Luz and didn't destroy it. He destroyed everything, Nebuchadnezzar. He couldn't touch Luz. Ve'af malach ha'mavet en lo reshut la'avor ba. Even the malach ha'mavet can't go to this place. You believe what's going on here?
Ela zekenim sheba bezman shedatan katza alehem.
Whoever lives there, you know, after a while, the person's fed up with living. He doesn't want to live anymore. He had enough. He lived, he did, he went, but he doesn't die in that place because the Malachi Mavet can't get you.
So what does he do? Yotzeet chutz lechoma.
He leaves the wall.
Ven metin.
So to die, you gotta leave the city. Which means there's one profession or one service that they don't have in Luz. No funeral homes, that's correct. No Hamlat Bebisha. And you could guarantee that in Luz, nobody's gonna knock on your door to try to sell you life insurance. So the insurance companies love this place. You know, there's no guy never dies. They never have to make a payout. At least forever. It's unbelievable. Insurance companies just keep on getting the premiums. And nobody dies. If they want to die, they die outside the city. Outside the city, there's a clause in the insurance policy. You have to die and lose to get paid. You know, there's always a clause where they don't have to pay. So this guy, I mean, I don't know what this guy did exactly. All the guy basically did is give directions. They told the guy, hey buddy, anybody know how to get to Beit El from here? He said, oh yeah, you got to go through the tree, and if you go through the tree, make a right to see the cave. In the cave, so he gave directions basically. What do you do? It's like you know, you go to the gas station. What do they used to go to the gas station? And you ask the guy in the gas station, excuse me, sir, you know how to get to the Belt Parkway North? Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, make a right, make a left, make a left, make a right, make a right, make a left. All the days, you just go to the gas station. Then you tell your wife, what did he say? You have no idea what the guy said. The Lord said, leave the gas station, make a right. That's all you got. Then he gave you eight more moves over there. So you go to the next gas station. Look at the ways. What did this guy do? He gave that. Look at the reward he gets. He lives basically in a city that's exempt from the Malachi Mavet. The guy lives forever. And the Gemara said, basically what he did is Levaya. Basically, he escorted them to where they wanted to go. But then the Gemara says the big chiddush here.
About time.
How did he give directions, this guy? What did he do exactly?
So the Gemara says, "V'halo devarim kal v'chomer."
Uma kena'ani zeh. This guy was a kena'ani. He's a goy. שלא דיבר בפיו. He didn't give them directions verbally. ולא הלך ברגליו. He didn't even walk.
גרם הצלה לו וזרעו עד סוף כל הדורות.
So what did he do then? If he didn't give them directions by walking, if he didn't give them directions by semaphore, so how did he give directions then?
So if you look at the pasuk that we read, Rabotai, today in the Navi, the pasuk says, Vayarem.
He showed them.
Rashi said, Be'etzba'o.
They said, excuse me, Mr. Kenani, how do you get to Bet-El? You went like this. This, only this like this. He pointed. The Gemara says, look at the zechut he got for this. This pointed.
He said, and if that's the reward that a person gets just for fulfilling the mitzvah
of escorting a guest, just by pointing. He didn't do anything. He just went like this. And look at the reward that he gets forever and ever.
So he writes, "Mi she'oseh levaya b'raglav."
If a person does the mitzvah levaya with his feet,
alachat kama v'kama.
Could you imagine?
So a person comes along and says, "Ah, I'm too tired to walk 4 or 5 steps."
You're giving up. You're giving up eternity.
This guy for doing nothing. He didn't even have the. He's a Qur'ani at the end of the day. He didn't even have the ability to talk to the guy. He didn't want to talk.
But he did something. He just gave a little signal. They pointed it to the tree. So they said, oh, there's something going on in the tree. They banged on it a couple of times. Before you know, they pushed the button, and the tree turned open, and they were able to get in. So the Gemara says that this guy will be here had a tremendous, tremendous reward because of this. Based on this, the rabbis asked, the Maharal asks, what is this secret of the Vaya, how does it work? So he says an amazing point. He says that every person has a certain measure on his body, on his face, called Selem Elokim, the image of God. And if the image of God is on the person, so the people are afraid of him. The more the image is on, even the animals get afraid. You know, when the tzaddikim walk by, the dogs, they stop barking because they're scared of the, they see the tzelim, they see the image. So he writes that there's many ways in order for a person, tzelim elokim, to become, pronounced. One way the Maharal says, which is an incredible way, he says that when you give kavod to a person, when you give honor to a person, and you show him hashivut, so therefore you arouse that image of God, because why does a person deserve respect? Because he was created in the image of God. So when you show a person respect, you connect to the Tzelem Elokim Shebo, and as a result, it. So I have the ability to arouse your Tzelem Elokim. How? When I show you credence, so I'm bringing out the Tzelem Elokim in you. Why else am I respecting you? Because you have the image of God. So that's an amazing thing. That means when you respect your friend, you're actually bringing them protection. Because you're showing... So now, the subject is like this. When you do the mitzvah levaya, why are you escorting the guy? Because you're showing him that he's chashuv. Why would you escort a person? You're showing him kavod. Doesn't matter who he is. That kavod that you show the guy when you're escorting him, you actually now arouse the tzelem Elohim that he has. And that's already a protection. So therefore, you don't see what you're doing. I mean, let's say you give the guy a gun and a bulletproof vest, And a can of mace. It's okay, I did something to the guy. Now he's protected. The guy calls you up, Minashamam, you gave me the bulletproof vest. I walked through the Sandinistas, they were shooting, and I had the mace. I was able to save myself from the lion. It's okay, see, that's good. I gave him that stuff. When you make libaya on a person, you're giving him something that's even more strong and more protective than those things that I just mentioned, namely the Tzelem Elokim. So therefore, when the person is armed with that, the Kaf HaHaim writes that if you take the word Levaya, Lamed, Vav, Yud He, he says it's Lashetevot, L'Hayim, Ul'Shalom, Yelech HaOreyach, that the guest will go in peace. And the Hadush we're learning over here, that not only is the mitzvah of Levaya give protection to the guest that walks out, but actually the one that does it, he comes out with even more. He comes out with an eternal reward. And even if all it was a flick of the finger, that's the way he showed kavod to these guys. What did he show kavod to them? There, the guys have got directions. So he pointed, that shows a little kavod. And who's showing the kavod? A Kena'ani. Remember we learned about the Kena'anim? Last week's parasha, when Eliezer and Yishmael were going to the Akedah, what did Abraham say to them? Shevu lachem poim hachamor, amad domel lachamor. That even though the Kena'ani is a low creature, it's amad domel lachamor. The hamor doesn't have any, you know, high levels. And even so, when the Kena'ani showed a little respect to those scouts in front of Bet-El, what ended up happening? What ended up happening is he became immortal. He became eternal. He ended up living forever. He ended up building a city that the Malach HaMavid would not be able to enter. So the Gemara says, that's a Kena'ani Hamor that just did a pointing with his finger. Could you imagine when a Jew goes out and escorts his friend? Could you imagine what it does for his friend? Could you imagine what it does for himself? That's why the Pasuk says by Avraham Avinu, Vayita Eshel Be'er Shaba. Part of his operation was Eshel. So it was Achila, was the eating, Shetiya was the drinking, and then Levaya. Now you say to yourself, how can you compare the three? Some want to say that the Lamed stands for Lina. Lina means lodging. Well, that I understand. If you go to a hotel and you want to publicize, you know, the amenities that you get in the hotel, they tell you, it comes with free breakfast, it comes with unlimited drinks, and you get a free night of lodging. It's okay, that's a perk. But imagine they tell you, they call the hotel up, I'd like to make a reservation, could you tell me the perks? But then, well, we see that you have this code, you get free breakfast, you get free drinks, and we escort you on the way out. You tell them, do me a favor, keep your escort to yourself. I'd like to redeem the escort. Maybe I can get a free, massage. Give me something I can use. I don't need your escort. Keep your escort to yourself. Well, I need the bellboy to walk. We'll walk you to the gate of the hotel. Tell you shalom aleichem. Thank you for coming, sir. What does it mean that Abraham, he opened the hotel up and he called it Eshev, and he gave them free food, achila, and he gave them free drinks, and then what did he give them? An escort. Why does that make Abraham's hotel a 7-star hotel? Because he gave him an escort. And the explanation is, because when Abraham Avinu gives the guest the escort, basically what is he doing? He's giving the guy a protection. That means we're guaranteeing you that when you leave our hotel, you're going to arrive wherever you're going to get safely. No, that's a good guarantee. Guy leaves the hotel, he takes a flight, he's going on a plane, he's taking a boat, he's taking a car. Kola derachim azkat sakana. So he said, don't worry, this hotel over here, we have a sigula. Whoever leaves the hotel is protected. We give you an insurance policy. You leave it a life insurance policy. Wow, how do you do that? That's a great hotel, that's a great perk. I said, yeah, because the owner is going to walk you out. Levaya, l'chaim u'shalom yelecha odaya. So that's why the mitzvah levaya is so strong. It's giving the protection. The Mekubalim write that there's different shemot that give a person protection. There's a pasuk that says that you're supposed to say when somebody leaves, as you're escorting him, before you tell him good night, you tell him ki malachav yisabelach l'shmorcha bechod rachech, that the angels of God, God should command his angels, ki malachav yisabelach, you should command them and they should join you l'shmorcha bechod rachech, to protect you on the roads. So the Rabbeinu Ari said that when you say that pasuk, you're supposed to have kavanah. You know, maybe we have it. I'm not sure if we have it in our Sidur. If we do, do we have it in the Sidur?
Yeah.
I don't know. I remember it on page 485. If you open up our Sidur on page 485, you see the pasuk kimat achab yisabelach. You see the last letters of ki? What is it? The yud. Malachav is a vav. Yitzaveh zeher. Anach is a chav. Yichaven shem kadosh. Yud vav echav. And that's already a protection for the derech. Unbelievable, huh? That's a protection for the derech. So we say, ki malachav yisabinach. That's the pasuk you tell the guest when he leaves. But you say it with kabanot. You say it with kabanot. So in order that you have this protection. The Gemara says another sigula in order to protect the guest when he leaves is that you should speak Devrei Torah. You should leave the guest with a little Devrei Torah, with the Hidush, Halakha. So, the Gemara says, what Devrei Torah? Well, you can talk whatever you want to talk about. The Gemara doesn't tell us what they're talking about. But the custom is, if you ever notice that when a person leaves, we tell them, Yahid v'rabim alakha kerabim. We tell them the rule of majority. Majority rules. It's like, my ma'aronim chobah. You know, we don't know. You're reading halakhot to a guy. So on the way out, you tell him, we're supposed to talk halakha. Anybody know any halakhot by heart? So one guy says, my ma'aronim chobah. That's a nice halakha, three words. Another guy says, Yahid b'rabim halakha k'rabim. That's the halakha that we chose. Because it's the easy halakha, majority rules, everybody knows it. But based on what we're learning now, is because if you take the Rashi Tevot of the Shem, Yud, Vav, He, Chaf, Yahid b'rabim halakha k'rabim, that the reason why we chose that halakha, Yahid b'rabim halakha k'rabim, because it carries the name of the Shem, of the protection. So that's not just a random halakha that he chose. My macharim chobah, you're not going to get that advantage of yud vav hechav. And the Mekubalim explain how the name works, actually. The Mekubalim say that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has a sword. And with that sword, he kills all the Kelipot and all the enemies. The sword, which letter does a sword look like? A vav. And the handle of the sword looks like a yud. So therefore, the sword of God is made up of the letters yud and vav. And what does that sword do? Hach. Hach means it attacks. So therefore, the Shem yud vav echav is actually a shit tevot, yud vav, which is the sword, the cherev. And what does God do with the cherev? Hach. Where do we see this Shem, yud vav, echav, in the Agadah Shel Pesach? How many makot did you have? 10. And then we say, Rabbi Udaya otim b'em semanim. That's Hach, Adash, b'achav, that's 13. And then we say there's three more. Dam, ba'esh, the Tevrot Ashan, we got the 16 Makot somehow. The reason why we get the 16 Makot is because we create the sword of Yud Vav, which is Makeh, the Rishaim. Now, if that's the case, what is Hach? Hach is 25. Correct? Yud Vav is 16. 16 times 25. That's high in mathematics. 16 times 25.
400.
This one, you're Elliot. 480?
400.
600 is 400. So that's a very, very, very important number over there, the 400. That's why Esav, we're going to learn in a couple of weeks from now, when he sends 400 soldiers. He sends the 400 chieftains, V'arbamot ish imo, because he wants to use the Shem Yud Vav Echav. He wants to use it against Yaakov. He wants to use the Kilipah. He wants to use every Shem, you use the good side of it, you use the bad side of it. Understand? So therefore, this was what Esav's intention in the 400. He's trying to send that Shem. But of course, Yaakov Abinu, when we get to that parasha, we'll see, used his kabanot to offset it. We're not worried about it. But for our point is, Rabotai, that from here you see how important the Mitzvah of Devaya is. But when a person has a guest, or if he's a guest, he's allowed to even tell the host, walk me out. There was a fellow that used to have a Haknasat Orchim, and he did this Mitzvah his whole life, and then his house burnt down. And they came to the Gaon of Vilna, and they said, but I did all these Mitzvot, how did my house burn down? He said, because by Avram it says he had Eshim. Achila Shtiyah Levaya. You didn't escort your guests, so you only had Achila Shtiyah, that's Ish. So the Levaya not only protects the guests, but it protects the house from fire. So there you don't need life insurance, and you don't even need fire insurance. Look at this one mitzvah of Levaya, how valuable and how easy it is. That's why I say, I convinced you about Shaul, even though he was had a stroke. And even though it was difficult for him, when he had guests, he would walk them. As difficult as it was, to the elevator.
Isn't there a question in the Torah of a Lulish thing when he agreed to
him? Probably.
That's the same Lulish?
Oh, no, that was the Lulish of Bet-El that Yosef had. This is the Lulish that this guy built. He named it after him. So, you see over here, Botai, that this city of Lulish that he built is very, very... very, very special, that comes to from the Mitzvah of Levaya. Now, I'll explain to you one step deeper, if you have a minute, that you see, there's a connection between the escorting of the guests and connecting yourself to something that is eternal. Correct?
Yeah.
Well, if that's the case, the rabbi mentioned, the doctor alluded to it. The Gemara says, the Zohar talks about it, that when a person passes away, so he doesn't lose all of his life. There's some life that remains. So when Tihayat HaMetim comes, it's from that little life, that spark that's left, it's from there they resuscitate the person. It means there's like a low voltage of spirituality. The Zohar HaKadosh calls it Havlad de Garmeh. Havlad de Garmeh means the spark in the bones. That means when a guy's alive and you put him in the electric machine, they say, oh, it goes, the needle goes to full. When he's dead, you put the machine on him, it's like a 1.5 V battery, like a battery of a watch. Well, not at all. Not even not totally, not even half. It's just a little energy that's there in the body. That's why, by the way, the Arizal said, when we go to the Metim, how are you talking to a dead body? What's the body going to do for you? No, but you're connecting to that Hamlad Garmeh, and that Hamlad Garmeh is a life over there. For that, you can communicate to him, and he can go and be a Melisyoshet. Otherwise, you just talk to the bones. Understand? So the Mepharshim say that where is that Hamlad Garmeh? Where is that? Where is that life? So they say that there's a bone in the back of the skull, and that bone over there
is a bone that is impenetrable. It's like kryptonite. You can't destroy it. The Gemara says that Adrianus, one of the Goyim, the generals of the Romans, he took a hammer and he banged it and it wouldn't bang, and he put it in the fire and it wouldn't burn. It's the bone that they say that it's from there the resurrection comes from. That even if a person decays, but it's that bone that is the bone of the resurrection. It's right here. In the back. So it's interesting. Abraham Avinu wrote a book called Sefer Yetzirah. And he says that everything you see, it has a parallel. So the city that has eternal life in this world, but the Malach HaMavet does not have a hold on, that's the city of Luz. That's what we just read in the Gemara. The city of Luz does not have a Malach HaMavet does not have entry. Now where is that concept in the physical body? Everything has to have parallel worlds. So in space, it's the city of Luz. In a human, where is that eternal place? The bone. And what is the name of the bone? The bone is called the Luz bone.
Really?
That's right. That's right. I'm not a biological name. But the bone is called, there's actually three names. Naskoy, Betuel. But it's called, in our purposes, the Luz bone. And therefore, it's no coincidence. And the Gemara said that the Malach HaMavet has no hold on that bone. That's why when the Malach HaMavet can kill the person, but he can't put his tum'ah in that, and that's why that bone has Ladin Yarmeh, and it's from there that the person is resurrected from. Now, interesting, Rabotai, I'll just make an observation. I'll make an observation for a minute. The Gemara says, why is that, or the Mefarshim say, why is that bone so special? Because when Adam HaRishon ate from the tree, all the body benefited from its adat, and therefore got the death penalty. But that limb, the Luz bone, did not. Now why not? What, did Adam not have a Luz bone when he ate? Did the Luz bone grow on Saturday night into his body, so it was like a new organ? No, that's not the case. When he ate from the Etz HaDa'at, the Luz bone was there. So how is it possible that the Etz HaDa'at went through the whole body, but somehow the Luz bone did not get any nutrient from it? Gemara says, or Mefashim say, something else about this bone. That it does not benefit from any food that you eat during the week. So you can eat all you want during the week, the Luz bone gets no benefit. Only from the food that you eat on Motzei Shabbat. So since Adam HaRishon ate from the food on Friday, Friday cannot influence the Luz bone. So therefore, that bone was protected from the sin. Therefore, when God punished Adam that he's going to die, the Luz bone was not included, because that was the part of the body that did not get tainted. And therefore that bone remains eternal, just like the famous city. But I'll tell you something else. That's why the rabbis say that you should eat something on Saturday night, on Motzei Shabbat, in order to give nutrient to that bone. It's not enough that it doesn't benefit from food during the week. But you have to, it has to live. You have to give it nutrient. So then you have to make sure to eat on Saturday night. So when you go to the movies, for example, you order a popcorn. You get, the Eskimo pie or something. You get the plantain, exactly. The bonbons, the milk duds. You get something to at least you eat something on Motzei Shabbat. We want to remind our members. That's not enough to watch a movie on Motzei Shabbat. You have to eat something at the movie in order to fulfill the Luz bone. That's why we have the custom that on Motzei Shabbat we have a seudah. Even though you might not need a mood to have a seudah if you ate all day long. Especially in the summer months, we had seudah shlishit already at 8:30 at night or 8 o'clock at night. That's your dinner, basically. They go home now at 10 o'clock and have another seuda. In the winter, it's a little easier. In the winter, Shabbat is at 5 o'clock. By 8 o'clock, 9 o'clock, you're hungry again. But if this has nothing to do with hungry or not hungry. This has to do with... Now, interestingly enough, this seuda that we eat on Saturday night has a name. What's the name? Nalib Malka. Leave Malka. Malka, you mean Malka. Which is the, I know you're on a Lakewood this week, but you, now you're still in Brooklyn, let's talk like we talk in Brooklyn. When you get to Lakewood, you can change your language. Now, we call it Melaveh Malka. What does the word Melaveh Malka mean? Hazak Baruch. There is another way to make an escort, not only when you're escorting your friend. You're escorting the Shabbat. Melaveh Malka. That's also the mitzvah levayah. So you see over here something incredible. That when a person does levayah to a human being, what ended up happening in this episode? He ended up getting to build the eternal city that never was destroyed, the city of Luz. And when a person makes a levayah to the Shabbat, which means he escorts the Shabbat on the way out, that already gives him a piece of eternity. The loose bone. So it's possible for us to relive this Gemara every Motzei Shabbat. That when we escort, that's what we made. We escorted the Shabbat as a guest. Let's assume the Shabbat is a guest, correct? Now Shabbat's over, the Shabbat's leaving. So what do you tell them? See you later. See you next week. Don't be late. You're not going to walk me to the door? I'd love to walk you to the door, but I'm going to the movies. So I can't walk you to the door. So the door's that way. I got to go shower. I got to go to the movies. I have to go to the nonsense, whatever they're doing on Motzei Shabbat. So you didn't escort the Shabbat. So that's a problem. You didn't get, you escort everybody else. We don't even point them to the door. Like this, Kenani did. Okay, the door's that way. Even that may be something. But the guys who sit down to a seuda, we tell the guests, listen, before you leave, sit down, we'll have a little seuda, and that's how you escort the guests out. Through that seuda from the Nabi Balka. So it's such an easy mitzvah. It's such an easy mitzvah. The Ben Ish Chai, Rabbi Shalom, he came along and said on a pasuk, Yelecha Oleya. The pasuk says, Vayahalom. Yaakov Abinu had a dream. V'hineh sulam mutzav arza. V'rosho magia ha-shamayma. So Yaakov had a dream and he dreamt a ladder. The ladder is mutzav arza. The ladder is on the ground. V'rosho, but the head of the ladder reaches the heavens. He says there's certain things that the people treat very lightly. It's thrown to the ground. But if they'd only know, these things are in the highest places in the world. To the people, it's mutzav arza. But really, Rosho Magia HaShamayma. He says, what is an example of an item like that? He says, the Melaveh Malka. The Seudah Melaveh Malka. People, they say, okay, Melaveh Malka, that's Ashkenaz item, we don't do it. We ate already 100 times today. Leave it, we want to sleep. So he says, they only know that that's how you connect to eternity. So he says the word sulam is the shetevot. Seudah levayat malka. He said, Vehine sulam mutzav arza. The sulam, the seudah levayat malka, of the escorting of the queen, mutzav arza. But he said, Verosho magia shamayma. If you only know that the head of it is in the shamayim, it's in the highest place. Ah, very nice. Very nice, Rabbi. Very good. Hazak Baruch. Now, anyway, when Yaakov Avinu got up from that dream, listen to when he gets up from the dream. Vayikra et shema makom ahu bet el ve'ulam luz shema id la'rishona. So very interesting in the parashat, the Ben Ish Chai is meramez The Seudat Levayat Malkah, the name of that city was Luz. So if you see that any time you're connecting to this concept, you're connecting yourself to each other. Now there's a deeper way of understanding this as well. Let's see if we could explain it properly. Again, the Rabbeinu Ari said that for something to be resurrected, it cannot be dead. You understand? If it's dead, it cannot be resurrected. It has to have hablad de garme. It has to have a little life. And from that little life, that's where the... So that's why... Ask yourself a question. How does eating a se'udah motzei Shabbat, and only that se'udah motzei Shabbat, right, help to lose bone? Now, I want to make a point for some of our members that give credence to what they say in Harvard. You're going to ask me, but is this proven in Harvard that there's a bone on Motzei Shabbat that gets nutrition, that doesn't get... So, the answer is, as a general rule, and this is to answer this question in all of its ramifications, as a general rule, Harvard is about 5,000 years behind in this technology. So, over the course of time, they will come to this truth, like they've come to many truths that the Torah, but there's a 5,000 year delay on there. So, if you go there today, they're just figuring out stuff that we knew 5,000 years ago. So, whatever today is, today 2018, whatever, it's 79? So, just minus 5,000, that's where they're up to today. So, they'll get to it. I don't want to have to show anybody think that they're not going to get to it. They don't want to disparage, these geniuses. Just that they're on a time delay. It's, over the course of time, these truths will be revealed to them as well. And then, we'll say we knew this already. What a two-year-old in yeshiva knows, they don't know in these places. Anyway,
you think it's
on Shabbat? How's that about it? I wouldn't think anything. I don't know anything. I don't give myself any credit to think anything. I don't know anything.
No, okay.
You would think Shabbat's holy.
Right.
So why would say Shabbat? I'll explain to you. It's a midah connected midah. What is the purpose of adding from Shabbat to the weekday? I'm going to say Motzei Shabbat. It's supposed to stretch the Shabbat. It's supposed to... So, if you look at our Siddur again, everything basically comes back to our Siddur. If you open up on the Motzei Shabbat program, it's in Arbi. I'll tell you the page of that. That's going to be on page... Let's just check to the regular beat. It's on page 379. See that Areni Mechin? Areni Mechin Atzmi Lekabel Or Tosefet Kiddushat Shabbat Yimei Achol. Also the concept of it. The Kabbalah of Saturday night is to drag the Kiddushat of Shabbat into the week. V'etkadesh Pa'ezat Hashem Yibrak Yimei Achol Mekiddushat Shabbat. Which means the weekdays are bibchinat met. The weekdays, and they're kantedet. Weekdays nothing. Yom Ha'ol has no chayut. So therefore, on Motzei Shabbat, we need to draw some life. That havlat garmer to give the weekday some energy. Where's the weekday getting its energy from? The weekday only gets its energy from the Shabbat. The Ben Wari learned that we don't look at Shabbat as the weekday, we learn Shabbat as the middle of the week. It's right in the middle. The Shabbat is like a fountain, like the menorah. You have the Ner Ma'aravi, and it gives light to the lights the 3 days to the right and the 3 days to the left. So therefore, it's a midah keneged midah. That just like on Motzei Shabbat, by extending the Shabbat and making the
Melaveh Malkah, you're extending the Kiddushah of Shabbat into the week. So that's exactly what happens then to our bodies. We're extending the Kiddushah into that loose bone. And therefore, that bone that gets no benefit during the week. But now we're putting Havlad de Garmeh, we're putting that Kiddushah into that limb. Just like we're bringing Kiddushah into the mundane, that bone is mundane. Motzei Shabbat, that's when it gets its. We're drawing the Kiddushah of that food that can only benefit that bone. And just like now the week becomes alive, so the Jew becomes alive again through that bone that we're able to draw the Kiddushah into it. So the Seuda of Melaveh Malkah is very, very significant. Now, there is another example that they say where you see this concept. The third Beit HaMikdash, Shibaneh, we have a problem. When the Goyim built the Beit HaMikdash, destroyed the Beit HaMikdash, so you need Havlad de Garmeh, you need some life. If there's no life left, then you cannot have a rebuilding. Understand? So when they destroyed the first Beit HaMikdash, it was only 70 years. 70 years is not considered dead. The Gemara says, "Hayinu kecholmin." Remember, Beshuva Adonai Yeshivat Zion, when God returned us to Zion after the 70 years of Galut Bavel, "Hayinu kecholmin." When a person is dreaming, he's alive. So therefore, you didn't have to worry. We knew there was going to be a second Beit HaMikdash. Because the Havlad de Garmeh, you didn't even have a Havlad de Garmeh. Everybody was still alive. No one died. 70 years is not considered a mitah. 70 years you can go to sleep, the Gemara says. But the second Beit HaMikdash, that's not 70 years away. That's 2,000 years. So that's a death. So what guarantees us the Havlad de Garmeh of the third Beit HaMikdash? The Kotel HaMa'aravi. So the Kotel HaMa'aravi, that western wall that we call it, that's the Havlad de Garmeh that guarantees that when they destroyed everything, they left a certain... So you have over here lose in the body. And you have the Kotel HaMa'aravi in location. And you have Shabbat, Motzei Shabbat in time. See, all these things are connected. The Motzei Shabbat is that concept in time that we're connecting the Chiyut of the week to the Shabbat of the week. That's the bridge. The bridge. We're creating a bridge between Shabbat to the Chol. The Kotel HaMa'aravi is the bridge between the Churban and the rebuilding of the Beit HaMikdash. And the loose bone is the connection between death and resurrection. You see how everything has the same principle? Now, there's one human, I guess we can call him a human, because he does appear as human, that is the ultimate example of the loose bone. Not only is his loose eternal, but his whole essence is eternal. But there's two of them. Yaakov Avinu lo met, that's correct. But of course, Eliyahu HaNavi. Eliyahu HaNavi, alav shalom, is that angel that we say that just goes up and down, and there's nothing happens to Eliyahu HaNavi. He's alive. He appears, he comes. We have stories about him we told last week, if you remember. That's Eliyahu HaNavi. So that's why on Motzei Shabbat, we're already connecting ourselves to all these concepts. We're already connecting ourselves to bring the Kistad de Chayuta, to bring the Havlad de Garmeh to the loose bone. By what? By extending the Kiddushah of Shabbat to give life to the week. And therefore, we're connecting ourselves to eternity. So what better night to arouse the coming of Eliyahu HaNavi? That's why we sing songs in Eliyahu HaNavi. That's why we read it, you know, how many times? Shabbat.
Right? And we sing songs about Yaakov Avinu, which is the third bit of Migdash. So back to that story, by the way. That's the Malach, the Melumas Eliyahu Navi, that he's Olim Yored. He goes up, he's an angel, he comes down, he's, and what did he see in this dream over here? He saw already the Bate Mikdash, and he said, Manorah Makom Azeh in Zeki in Bet Elohim. And the Hakamim say that Yaakov Avinu referred to the temple as a bayit. Abraham referred to it as a har. The har was destroyed. Yitzhak referred to it as a sadeh. The sadeh was destroyed at the second temple. This is a dream that dreamt of the third temple. So the whole story of Motzei Shabbat is in his dream. He dreamt over here of Malachi Olim Olim Yeridim Bo Eliyahu Hanavi. Sunam Utsam Arasat Menave Malkah. And he dreamt of the Beit Elohim as a third Beit HaMikdash. And what did he say when he got to this place over there? And what did he say? Ulam Luz Shema'ir. The name Luz. So all the words in this. And look at the Remez over here. Look at the Remez. What did he do the next morning when he got up? He built a monument from the stones that he put under his head. And he said, Va'eben azot asher samti matseva. That's the Kotel HaMa'aravi. That's the Eben that he placed over here the next morning, which was a siman, that this rock, that's going to be the only thing that's left over from the whole inyan of the destruction. That already he was creating the inyan of the Havlad de Garmeh. Va'eben azot yeh matseva. That means it's a matseva. It's going to be yatsim bekayam le'ol me'ad. So that's already the concept of Klal Yisrael's connection to eternity, whether it's through the Beit HaMikdash, the Kotel, whether it's through the weekday, through Tosefet Shabbat, Mimachol, or whether it's through his own eternity, through Mekayim these Mitzvot, Mehazek, the Luzvon. These are all transitions that we try to go from, you know, from one madriga to the next. And that's the secret of the mitzvah of Levaya as well. When the person escorts not only Shabbat, but the person escorts his friend, as the Maharal said, he's mechazek, the tzelem, and ukin shebo, and even this Kena'ani guy, he just pointed. That was already enough for him to live forever. So the Gemara says, Kavachom, if somebody does this mitzvah in the proper way, or the more so that it's going to bring him tremendous, tremendous barakah. So that's the story in the Navi. It's a good story. It's a great story to learn the. Now we do have a few more minutes just to say one word on the parasha. What parasha is it this week? It's Chayei Sarah. Well, we'll say, an oldie but a goodie. The Ibn Ezra. So Avraham Avinu dispatches Eliezer to go find a shiduch. From here you see, you have to trust your parents when it comes to shiduchim. Yitzhak Avinu was 40 years old. You think he's capable to find his own wife? He's the Baal HaKedah. But he didn't trust himself. He trusted his father to find him the right girl. So when you have a 17-year-old kid comes home, well, Daddy, I found the girl I want to marry. What do you know? Yitzhak Avinu didn't know. You're going to know whether Yitzhak Avinu? So you see that the parents have to be involved in choosing the shidduch for their...
His father sent someone else?
Whose father is that?
Yitzhak's father.
Yitzhak's father is Abraham.
Who's
Eliezer? Let's go slow again. Let's go back to Tayyad, Daddy. You made the Kodesh already, pray?
Yeah.
Okay. Avraham Avinu, Alav Hashem, you know who that is? Okay. He had a servant called Eliezer?
Yes.
Okay. He sent Eliezer to go find a wife.
Yitzhak.
But Avraham was managing it.
Okay.
Yitzhak didn't do it. Why didn't he tell Yitzhak? Go handle it. Avraham managed it and told me directions. Don't take a girl from here, take a girl from this, this is what we're looking for.
How come when he came back with Rivka?
didn't report to Abraham what happened. He went right to Yusuf. Yusuf took her in right away.
Oh, he wanted him to mean he has to. He gave all the instructions. He gave all the instructions. He gave all the instructions. He found it. That's a good question. Yeah, I said last week, in the Torah, as far as I know, there's only one conversation that Abraham has with Yitzchak in the whole Torah, as far as I'm concerned. By the Akedah, Yitzchak says, Vayomer Yitzchak el Avi, Vayomer Avi, Vayomer Hineni Beni, Vayomer Hinea Etz Vayisi Mayetz, Vayomer Elohim Yerelo. That's it. You don't see anywhere else in the Torah that they communicate besides those two pesukim. I'm not saying they didn't talk to each other, but in the Torah, we don't have any record of any comment. If you say, if you have another pasuk, you can tell me. So I don't know if he was at the wedding or not. Somehow he was. Ram was alive.
Who was the
Besad HaKidushin? That's a good question also. Doctor, you're asking good questions. One good question leads to another. But the Hidah writes that Abraham, Yitzhak, and Yaakov actually lived together for 15 years. And they learned 15 hours a day together. So there was a overlap. So for sure, he went to the wedding. I'm going to say Avraham is Mesadeh the Kiddushin. That's going to be my... unless Yitzchak had the custom that they have today, that they might have a Shishiva. So maybe Shem Be'ever is Mesadeh the Kiddushin. You have to know what the custom was in those days. So maybe they invited Shem Be'ever to do the Kiddushin, and they gave Avraham, to read the Ketubah, maybe, to do something. That's the new custom today. They write the Rosh Hashiva. Okay. Anyway, he says, "Vayomer Avraham." I'm reading in chapter Chavdalet Pasuk Bet. El Avdo Zekam Beto Amoshem Bechol Hashelo Simna Yadecha Taat Yerichi Vashbiacha Vashem Eloi Hashamayim Veloi Haaretz. I want you to swear to God, the God of the Shamayim and the God of the Haaretz. What does he want with this? Bashem Elohe HaShamayim Elohe HaAretz. So there's an Ibn Ezra over here that's a shocker. He says, Elohe HaShamayim Elohe HaAretz. B'makom hazeh. Over here he uses this title of God. Elohe HaShamayim Elohe HaAretz. He could have said, swear to me in the name of Shakai. Swear to me in the name of Elohim. Swear to me in the name of Yudke Vavke. No. Swear to me in the name of the God that's in the Shemar Meloah. So Ibn Ezra says, why? He says, Kibat Peloni le Peloni ba'ares min ha-shamayim. Because when we say Bat Peloni le Peloni ba'ares, it's min ha-shamayim. Vehu sod. Ibn Ezra. Since when does Ibn Ezra get involved in Kabbalah? He says, Vehu sod, but he doesn't tell us what the sod is. He just says, "Oveki batlon leploni ayin rashi bereshit bet yudhet lo tov yot adam lebado betabin sodo." He says he gives you the bottom. Go look over there; you'll see what he's talking about. Anyway, I saw the Mefarshim explain the sod of the Ibn Ezra like this. The Gemara says that a zivug of a person when he gets married, the Gemara compares it to the splitting of the sea. Everybody has the same question. You're going in the wrong direction. The splitting of the sea is separating something. Marriage is putting two things together. You couldn't find an analogy where you put two things together? You want to compare marriage to splitting of the sea? You should say, marriage is compared to... building a building. Put one brick to another brick, put cement in the middle, bingo, you have a brick, you have a house. No, it's compared to the splitting. Unless you say simply that, everybody, when he gets married, so he has to split himself from all his, habits, and he has to pull himself away from all the... his things that he got accustomed to, his selfishness and all that. So then, well, that's the...
Right,
he has to leave his parents' house.
That's a simple way of interpreting. I once saw an explanation. Why is it you have some people, the first girl they go out with, that's the girl they marry. They get lucky, you don't have to waste the time with going out, 100 girls. We had a guy in Lakewood Yeshiva, the guy must have went out with 100 people. He went out with every girl in the tri-state area. Eventually got married. I was his roommate. I married the first girl I went out with. So, why does that happen? That's Min HaShamayim. That's part of the... So, if you remember the way we learned how Kiryat Yam Suf was, Kiryat Yam Suf was not like the way you saw it in the movie, where it split. It was a semicircle. It was 12 lanes. Now, if you're in the outer lane, that's the longest route. If you're in the inner lane, it's a short route. So basically they're saying that Zivuk is like Kiryat Yam Suf. Some have to take the long route, the outer lane, to get there, and some take the short route. But eventually you'll get to the same place. So they're telling you that that's the way it works. That's a good speech for the Shiva. So there you go. So I'm giving you the homer, giving you the material. So that's another way of explaining the connection between Kiryat Yam Suf and marriage. But the Mekubalim have a more beautiful way to explain it. And they say, based on the Gemara and Sota, the Gemara Sota says that 40 days before the child is born, so there's a voice that goes, oh, the child's conceived. They say, Bat Ploni the Ploni. They make an announcement in Shemayim. Bat Ploni the Ploni. The daughter of Mr. Flan is going to marry Flan. That's what they say. Marriage is a made in heaven. That's when the invitations go out. When they say, Bat Ploni the Ploni, already invited to the wedding. Nobody's born yet. They said 40 days after conception. So what happens? So the Gemara says that there's two Zivugim. There's Zivug Rishon and Zivug Sheni. They say Zivug Rishon, Bat Ploni le Ploni. That's Min HaShamayim. Zivug Sheni is Lefi Ma'asav. That already, it works with a different system. Lefi Ma'asav, he's got to earn it. It's called his action. The first one, it's nothing to do with merit. It's Nasib, Bat Ploni le Ploni, however God decides. The second one, it's more working on a merit system. Lefi Ma'asav. So the Gemara makes a look. Av Zivug Rishon, Av Zivug Sheni. So we explained this inyan of Zivug Rishon and Zivug Sheni. People think it's first marriage and second marriage. Well, they're right, it could be that. But there's a deeper interpretation. Marriages begin in heaven. God takes a neshama of Bat Ploni, and he takes the neshama of Ploni, and he puts them together. You ever hear soulmates? They're one soul. But that's it, the marriage is made of it. Now, when God decides, he breaks those souls apart. Shall I give you an example? This happened already in the world. The Zohar Kadosh and the Gemara, you don't need Zohar, this is Gemara Hagigah. That when Adam and Eve were created, they were created back to back. They're like this. So there's no ladies first. They're connected. So now, what did Hashem do? He separated them. And then they were able to become united. This way they cannot have children this way. So there was a separation and then there was a reunification. Understand? So that's where every zivug happens. The neshamot in heaven are created, fused together. Although this cannot bring children the way this is happening. But that's the way it starts. It starts as souls. Then God puts bodies on these neshamot. And he sends the body down to Brooklyn. And then he sends another body down to Deal. I learned it. And now the magic is to try to reunite these two people that were united already. Now Brooklyn to Deal is easy. But sometimes you have a girl that's coming to visit from Australia. And she comes here for one Shabbat. Bingo, she meets a guy. That's the magic of Zivugi. That Bore Olam makes sure that whoever was connected already in the upper worlds, And it's not such a thing, because for God, the distance between the upper world and the lower world is much more than the distance between Australia and New York. Understand? So whatever happens, small change, they bring them here, bring them there, bring them there, and they meet. Now, the marriage that's made in heaven is called Zivug Rishon. That you have no control of. Zivug Sheni is already now, after the person gets married, this is called Zivug Sheni. It's the second time you got married. The first time you were married already in heaven. Then when you go under the chuppah and you give the ring, that's called Zivug. Now that marriage, no, that's the Fima Asab. Now you have to be a human being. When you were married in Shamayim, you didn't have to behave. You didn't have any Shalom Bayit problems. You didn't have to. There was no, it was souls. But now that you have a human body, now the Gemara says, Zivug Sheni, Zafima Asav. Now you're not a soul anymore. Now you have to be careful, you have to be sensitive, you have to talk right, you have to do Hesed. That's the Zivug Sheni, Zafima Asav. Understand the way we're learning it? Zivug Sheni is, now you're married. Now, you can't say, well, we were soulmates. Yeah, soulmates happened by God. That was an act of God. You didn't have to do anything for that one. But now that you're married to a physical person, and there's feelings and there's sensitivities, now you have to, Lefima Asav, now you have to have actions. You can't just rely on, oh, we're soulmates. Zivug Sheni is Lefima Asav. Understand how we're learning it? The Gemara says in one place that one of the rabbis asked God, you know, or they asked the rabbi, what does God do all day long? He says, oh, he's a big Zivugim. He's a big Zivugim. So I saw one of the rabbis asked the question. He's a big Zivugim. It should have said, he's mezaveg yachidim. You don't need to mezaveg a zivug.
Right.
The zivug means it's a couple. It doesn't need to couple couples. It needs to mezaveg individuals. What does it mean? It's mezaveg zivugim. So explanation is that first, when the olam makes the zivug in the shamayim, that's easy. That's an easy one. There's never a shalom bayit problem in that marriage. Zivug nishon, there was never a divorce. No one ever gets divorced from zivug nishon. The Shemot. You ever hear the Shemot fighting with each other? You ever hear the Shemot getting into trouble, committing all sorts of Averot? Zivug Nishon, there was never a divorce. But what is the Kadosh Baruch Hu? Now they get Zivug Sheni. And Borei Olam is Mezavig Zivugim. He has to work all day long to keep that Zivug together. To Mezavig them. To make sure that the Zivug Sheni doesn't come apart. And that we see. That already needs a lot of Siyata, including God, to come down from Shemot and Mezavig it. You know, to... It's like you put two things together with the glue, and the glue's getting weak, so you need the guy to come and press it together to hold it, just so it doesn't come apart. So marriage needs so much yatad shmayad, the Borei Olam has to be mezaveg the zivug that he made already. The zivug that he made in Shamayim, he's got to mezaveg it over and over again, the yatad shmayad, to keep it stuck, to keep it pressed. So look at the amazing thing. They're neshamot, they're attached. Temporarily they become detached and they're sent out to different parts of the world. And then they're reunified. The Gemara's analogy to Kiryat Yam Suf is perfect. Kiryat Yam Suf started off as one body of water. Temporarily it separated. And then after the Egyptians drowned, it went back to becoming one. That's exactly the way Zivugim work. Zivugim start as one, Shamayim, the Zivug Nishon. Temporarily they're separated like Yam Suf. And sent down, and then when you're getting married, it's closing and becoming one again. This time, in the sense of marriage, of physical bodies. That's the analogy. It's so perfect, and that's what Ibn Ezra says. Ki bat ploni leploni ba'ares, which is zivug sheni min ha-shamayim. It really started in the shamayim. So therefore, Abraham Avinu, when he wants to make his loyal servant to the Ezer, swear to him that he's going to do this right. He says, "Bashbiachab, Bahashem Eloah Shamayim, where the Zivug begins in the Shamayim, Veloah Ares. What we're going to see take place on the Ares, he's telling you the Ezer, that's the sword of Zivug. The sword of Zivug is, it starts in Shamayim and finishes on the Ares. So you just need to find out what happened in the Shamayim first. And then he says, Ibn Ezra, Behu Sod. Based on the Kabbalah, we understand what he means. My marriage is made in heaven. I didn't meet my wife in heaven. Yeah, you didn't meet your wife in heaven, but you met the souls back already. That's why when you see a girl, sometimes you see the guy say, "Do I know you from somewhere?"
Yeah.
What does it mean when he's saying that?
It's a come on.
What he means when he's saying that, he says, I know her from someone, but I don't know where I remember her from. Because he has a recollection to the neshama, when they were connected in the previous, but he doesn't remember that connection, because it's a vague connection. It's a connection that was done when they were souls. But the Greeks say soulmates, you see them say that as well. Therefore, that's a reminder that if a person is, happily married, the kids today don't know this, that's the problem. They think that
they're picking
exactly. Doctors couldn't have said it better. They think they're picking. Little do they know it was picked already for you. It's been a shamay, and they come up with all these new things over here. Listen, when we were younger, and when your parents were younger, there was no shidduch crisis, and there was none of this stuff.
And no anxiety.
And there was no. When you went to Barnes and Nobles, there was not a whole section of books. And how to date, and how to get married. Today everybody became fools. They don't know how to do the simplest thing. How did anybody figure it out before all these know-how books? Or how-to books? Dating for dummies, getting married for dummies. All these books they have now to teach a person, but they turned it into a science. That's the problem. And once you turn it into a science, so the over-analysis of it, but I read in the book, it says, in the olden days, you might when you found a girl, you know everything was going to show my man anyway. You made your basic ishtadut, you're not going to do something that's reckless. And by and large, everybody was able to do this without with all these how-to books. But today, once we've turned this into an analytical item, where we have to meet, I mean, this way and that way, and explain it, and what about this, and what about that, and you have to rip apart and psychoanalyze and nitpick every single plot. You're right, you turn it into a mathematical equation. Then it's got to be, 4.634821, and it's hard to get that perfect number. No, I believe that could be part of the crisis today. That we took something that's not so complicated, and we turned it into a complicated item by putting too much details into, things. Instead of just saying, just go out on a date. No, I have to know first 73 things, and I need to know what you're... Your parents didn't go out on a date like that. They went out. The parents thought it was good. You do good family. They went out, and then they worked by and large. But today, I mean, so much, I'm not saying to just let your children go out blindly. I've had some strong conditions. But today, I think a lot of the complications are self-imposed. Because, like the doctor said, it's all made in heaven. Somebody went to Hakam Yosef Raful once, and he told him he has 7 daughters that he married all 7 daughters, and Hashem didn't help him with any of them. So Chaim Yosef said, well, Hashem didn't help you? He says, no, he did it all. That's what he meant. He says, he didn't help me. As if I did something, he didn't help me, he did everything. He didn't help me, I did nothing. The 7 was all men ha-shamayim. And that's the attitude. Once you start to believe that, so a lot of your analysis, God laughs at, was he not? He knows if these neshamot are compatible or not. What does he know? I put neshamot together. So that's what it means over here when he says, Elohe ha-shamayim ve'elohe ha-ares, ki bat ploni de ploni ba'ares, v'ra-shamayim ve'hu-sod. Adka, baruch ha-lamayim le'olam, amen ve'amen.